Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 16th of September, recording at 9:27 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, first the highlights today. It was blood in the streets and stock markets in Asia and also Europe and at the opening on Wall Street. Then it all began to turn around and Europe paired its decline, halved its decline. Not quite that much on FTSE. More modest recovery there. And Wall Street closed near the highs, up 141 points on the Dow. That's 1.3%. S&P up nearly 21, 1.75%, and the Nasdaq also up 1.25%. So not a bad performance overall. More on that in a moment. Long-dated government bond prices, these really soared, got up to nearly another, well, at least 2.5 more points, getting up to a high of 123.27 before being paired right back currently at 121.07. That's actually down 2 ticks on the day. And we saw the U.S. dollar seesawed in a narrowish range for a change, or narrower range, and is steady in here. The U.S. dollar index is at 79.12. And precious metals, these were quite soft. Silver and platinum fell back really quite sharply. That's important. Crude oil slumped again, got down to $90. Excuse me, $90.51, but is currently at $93.27. That's still down $2.44. And grains and beans were hit in here today. Corn nearly limit down. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, the banking crisis really has dominated sentiment, and how could it be anything else? Or the financial crisis, I mean, with both the bankruptcy on Monday, or the Chapter 11 of Lehman, and then having Merrill Lynch, which is regarded as next in line, being taken over by Bank of America. That was really quite something. And then all the AIG drama in here today. A little bit of politics coming, not surprisingly, this election year. A little bit of a tax populist sort of taxpayers' rebellion with both Obama and McCain. Particularly McCain saying that taxpayers' money should not be used to bail out these firms. And the Fed really sticking to that line. And with people feeling that, well, that was really curtains for AIG. But then talk of raising the capital from various different sources made the rounds. And I think that's quite possibly the story that's likely to run or lead to some sort of loan facility that enables AIG to continue. And what else to mention here? Yes, after hours, JP Morgan's earnings came out. They were better than expected. Quite good, and I gather that the share has rallied after hours. Global deleveraging does continue here, though, today, evidenced by most stock market action, evidenced in the weakness of most practically all commodities here again today. And that's really quite a powerful theme. Now, what also happened, and this is important, is that the VIX index on an important day, the VIX index I think rallied up to 3370. That's above the highs that it saw at the July low, and only slightly below the highs that we saw at the January and March lows. I'll post that chart, but and or you can see it in the library at any time. But the VIX spikes in the VIX usually coincide with market bottoms. So really what's interesting is that we had the S&P and the Dow breaking down today. Well, the S&P, I think it was, broke down yesterday. Had some follow through today, but then couldn't maintain it. It's just pushing back up. It's not enough to be convincing, but I would expect, well, Asia's been wary, but I'd be surprised if we didn't get some firmer action in Asia tomorrow, at least during the opening. And I think that would then spill over into Europe. So the world hasn't quite ended yet. And if we look at good factors in here right now, and this, again, a lot of important things going on, that central banks have been pumping in a lot of liquidity. The Fed pumped in another $50 billion here today, and it was $70 billion yesterday, and the ECB and the Australian Reserve Bank of Australia has been doing, the Swiss Bank, the Chinese are pumping in money. So we are getting this coordinated policy response that I've been talking about daily in these audios. Now it's begun. It's not like firing the starting gun in the Olympics 100 meter sprint here. It's more like shouting, "Hey boys and girls, you know, you can come out of the foxholes." Now, and they peer around and wait and listen, see if anybody else is moving, and look around, and then gradually stick their heads up and so on. It's a slow process, in other words. But I think that we have seen a shift here. We've probably frightened central bankers enough and to cause the change in emphasis, and they can't deny the disinflationary, the powerful disinflationary forces that we're seeing in the economy right now. Now, of course, when you go to Sainsbury's or Tesco's or Waitrose or whatever supermarket equivalent that you go to in your own country, you certainly are not going to see deflation and disinflationary pressures there. All you're going to see is inflation. My skinny wet latte from my grande skinny wet latte from Cafe Nero went up another 10p in here this week. Tears in the Fuller household. So there are plenty of price increases coming through to the consumer. But we see the deflationary pressures elsewhere. We see them in house prices. We see them in the asset sales. They're pretty powerful here overall. We see them in rising unemployment. We see them in the bankruptcies that are taking place, and we see them in the falling commodity prices that have occurred, and central banks should not and will not ignore that evidence indefinitely, even though those CPI and PPI figures are still uncomfortably high, but they can anticipate declines. And there's, paradoxically, and I've said this, as I said before, I said on the way down, paradoxically, that central banks were crisis-oriented. They wouldn't do anything unless stock markets started to slump again. Well, banks were going bust and stock markets were slumping, and so they did get involved and have been pumping in liquidity. So, paradoxically, on the upside, if we had too good a rally, then they would hold back on the stimulative measures. So, I just see a headline saying U.S. considering conservatorship for AIG. Considering was the key word there. But my feeling is that when you get that type of or that change in emphasis by central banks, that we are really in the end game as far as the decline is concerned. That doesn't mean that if they hold off or if something else takes place in terms of a specific company that we can't get another lurch to the downside, the risk will remain high until the downtrends are broken. But I will repeat that when we get the change in policy, maybe it takes 3 or 4 rate cuts from China before they turn that around. Maybe we need to see rate cuts from the ECB and other central banks before things turn around. But I do think that we've sort of commenced the end game in terms of the decline and the asset deflation and deleveraging that that we've been seeing. And I think that's pretty much it. Look for a bit of a rally tomorrow. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.